How many of you have a story to tell? And who are you witnessing to? Or do you not know that you have a story to tell? You do not know you have a story to tell because the enemy's constantly telling you that I'm not real, that I have not magnified myself to you. But that is all false. You do have a story, a deep, deep, deep story that goes into the wells of living water. You need to come forth and tell your story to all the lost and the dying. You need to tell them of my love, my compassion, my grace. I need you to go forth and tell your story. You have witnessed it all, my children. The enemy keeps trying to make you believe that I have not moved in your life, because there's still circumstances that have not changed. But I am changing one circumstance at a time. I am setting you free one second at a time. You see, the story goes so deep, and the well is so deep, that I have to take it out line upon line and precept upon precept. But you can still go forth and tell the story of how great my love is for you, how vast heaven's kingdom is. You to go tell your story, and I will bring the harvest in. There's going to be a new sunrise in the morning. And today will be gone. Are you going to tell your story? Or are you going to keep it hidden because you do not understand the depth of my love to you this day? One day when you stand before me, I'm going to hold you accountable for why you did not go forth and tell your story about what a wonderful God that you serve. Every day you tell the story of how the darkness overtakes you. Every day your mind wanders down that same dark path, and you tell your story. I will ask you, why could you not tell one little story about what I did in your life? My spirit is grieved this day because my children hold back. They do not tell the darkness it has to flee. It does not go forth in faith proclaiming liberty. I am with you always, even to the setting of the sun. I am with you. Everybody has a story about the light. Everybody should be proclaiming my gospel to the darkness. I'm asking you to come forward this day. Spread your light. Tell your story. I know you don't have faith to even tell your story, but if you will take that one step of faith, I will meet you. It doesn't matter who ridicules your story. Didn't they do that to my son Jesus? But he still went on his journey, and he still told his story about what a wonderful Father that you serve. Heads up. The enemy has attacked you full force. But if you'll just tell one part of your story, he will have to back down. He cannot destroy you. He cannot. I have not given him that power or that authority. Go forth and tell your story. Be liberated this night. Have no fear. Right now, conquer all fear of the unknown. If you knew everything that was going before you go, that would not be faith. I will be with you and I will lead you, guide you, and direct you. But you must go forth proclaiming your story. Praise the Lord. I keep forgetting I have to go up here. Yeah, I was telling somebody this evening that I opened my eyes up this morning and I said, brand new day. I am healed from the crown of my head to the bottom of my feet and I feel wonderful. And I jumped out of bed and by the time I got to the bathroom, the devil said, you think so? My leg said, you better sit down. But you know I'm still healed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's my story. Amen. And I proclaim it every day. I am healed. And I don't care what the devil says or what he thinks. He means absolutely nothing to me. My father taught me how to, my earthly father taught me how to be a fighter. And if somebody knocked me down, he'd say, get back up again. So I'm a fighter. And I'm going to keep getting back up again. How about you? What's your story? What's your story? You all have a story, just like God said. And my story is I'm going to get home without the police seeing I don't have my car registered. And I'll register it tomorrow. Your story is you should have looked at my tags for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is in the house tonight. Yes. And he's on his throne. He is not going to come down off of his throne. He's going to stay there, and he's beckoning us to come up hither. He's saying, you come up here. I've been inviting you to come and dine. I'm not coming down to your table because I don't like your food. So he spread a table for you and I up there, and he expects us up there. I think he's had to throw a lot of food away, though, don't you? I think he got the food, the table all prepared, and the people didn't come. And so he had to throw that food away. He never throws his food away. He'll just invite somebody off the street to take your seat. They'll be more than happy to come up hither and eat. Amen. If you don't believe that, take somebody in that's off the street to eat you out of house and home. They're anxious to sit at your table. We should be that anxious to sit at the Father's table. He's offering us come and dine tonight even. So let's just dine with him tonight. Let's just have a good time with him. And don't let it end here. You take him in your car, you take him home, and you just live with him all night long. Every day, not just today. Amen. Some people think, well, I went and sat with God on Sunday. Now the rest of the time's mine. That's not true. All the time is his. Because you wouldn't have any time if it wouldn't be for him. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God's doing. I don't care if you like the morning service or not. You're going to get an evening service. And we'll just keep running on going until one day we'll see Jesus come in the clouds. Amen. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring others into the house of God, and we're going to see them liberated like we are, and we're going to hear them shout the glory louder than we do because God said that's what's going to happen. So I believe God, don't you? All right. Well, Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you've already done here tonight. I thank you, Father God, for all the new faces that are coming in and out of the house of God. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit is wooing us and drawing us even closer every day. Now, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that your glory totally and completely fill the temples of the people that are here tonight. I'm asking, Father, that you change us, rearrange us, so we fit into your plan for the day. And Father, I'm also asking you that let your love so saturate your people that that love will be spread abroad wherever we go. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit's in the house, and he's happy tonight. Yeah, so, you know, praise God. And you have to rejoice in him, and you have to receive that overflow of joy that the Holy Spirit has. Yeah, I don't care what the devil did to you today. I really don't, because God's bigger than whatever problem the devil threw your way today. He really is. So why do we sit and why do we worry about things? We need to get out of that habit. That's a habit we need to get rid of that habit. And we need just to be glorious in God and just understand that he loves us. This morning I was teaching about, you know, if you didn't tell somebody that they were in sin, that their blood was going to be on your hands. And because I didn't finish my teaching, I didn't give you the scripture. So we're going to read the scripture about that tonight, all right? It's in Ezekiel 3:18 says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand." There's your scripture. Now let's read Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 1. "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying," and this is Ezekiel speaking, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees a sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." And we all are the watchman. "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. See, it doesn't matter how righteous you think you are. When you sin, you're no longer righteous. Isn't that what it says? So verse 13 says, when I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness, and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered, but because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair, but it is their way which is not fair. In other words, you want, if a person sins, you want them, God to smite them, because no, if they turn around, they're saved. All right? We just read all that. Verse 18, when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, you shall live because he shall live because of it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair, O house of Israel. I will judge every one of you according to his own ways. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month on the 5th day of the month, that one who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me and said, the city has been captured. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me the evening before the man came who had escaped, and he had opened my mouth. So when he came to me in the morning, my mouth was open, and I was no longer mute. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, they who inhabit those ruins in the land of Israel are saying, Abraham was only one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood, you lift up your eyes toward your idols and shed blood, should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword, you commit abominations, and you defile one another's wives. Should you then possess the land? Say thus to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the ruins shall fall by the sword, and the one who is in the open field I will give to the beast to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds and caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will make the land most desolate, her arrogant strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through. You see this? This is what how the body of Christ thinks also. And this is a word from the Lord to be very watchful of how you're living and how you're judging others. Verse 29 says, then they shall know that I am the Lord when I have made the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another. Everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they came to you, you know, God saying, you know, Ezekiel was a prophet. So the people were talking about what he was saying. So they came to Ezekiel, right? So they come to you as people do. They set before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. How many times has God talked to us about that? In verse 32, indeed you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. See this? And God has said it, that he's going to, in this season we're in right now, he's bringing forth the prophets once again, and he's even bringing new prophets on the scene. And I will teach about false prophets and false teachers, but you have to be careful who prophesies over you. You have to be very careful who lays their hands on you, because not everybody sitting in the house of God belong to God. We have an awful lot of sinners that sit in the house of God. We even have the devil's own people planted in the house of God to steal God's people. But you saw right there in Ezekiel that if somebody's in sin, you have to warn them, because if they die in their sin, their blood is on your hands. Remember what God told me a long time ago, this relates to you all your our job is to give them the word. We don't get them saved. We just give them the word, and what they do with the word gets them saved or not. All right? But I did want to bring that out to you. There's the scriptures that cover that. And you have something to back that up. If somebody says something to you about it, you can just, where's that at? In Ezekiel, tell them to go to Ezekiel 33, 1 through 33, and read what God says about people who do not listen to what the prophets or the preacher, you know, or whoever says to you, the evangelist. That everybody's a prophet that goes forth. All right. I'm excited because God is moving across the land. I'm just hearing what he's saying. God is moving across the land like he's never moved before. He is doing total restorations. He's saying he's doing things that the church has not even seen or heard of, but it's still him doing it. And as you proclaim your liberty, liberty's going to come into your house, you know, your vessel, and you're going to be set totally and completely free. But you have to claim that. You tell the three girls that I missed them a bunch. Would you do that for me? I don't tell them. I don't like to look back here and see empty seats. You know, whenever a word's given, instead of getting under condemnation, you should thank God that God warned you beforehand where you're at and what's going to happen if you don't get it together. Because God loves us that much. He does warn us beforehand of everything that goes on in our life. If you just learn to listen to the voice of God, he's always telling you what's going on in your life and even in the lives of the people around about you. All right. I always know when somebody's going to show up to church and hasn't shown up for a while, because for 3 or 4 days, God lays them upon my heart and tells me to be praying for them. When we come to the service, there they sit. You know, they're in a twit, and, you know, and they're crying out to God, and God lays upon my heart, be praying for them. And then when they come in, then God's ready to speak the word that they need, and they leave here totally relieved that God showed them what's going to be happening. We serve an awesome God. I've never served the devil, and I don't understand how anybody does, but you know, that's part of life with some people. But I've always served God, and he's been the best thing that's ever come into my life. And I hope that, you know, that should be your story too. You should be telling people, doesn't matter, and don't believe me, I've had the valleys to walk through. And that one song we sang this morning about the tunnel, light at the end of the tunnel, I always remember one time I was going through a terrible time, and God said, kept saying, keep going, daughter, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And one day after about a year, I said, where is that the end of the tunnel? And I screamed it and stomped my foot. But you know what? There really was a light at the end of the tunnel, because it came, and freedom was in the camp. So I'm here to tell you, that's another story you can tell the people. There truly is a light at the end of the tunnel. Doesn't matter how long the tunnel is, there's always a light, because God walks through that tunnel with you. You never walk anywhere alone. You really don't. God is always there holding your hand. God knows each and everything that's going to go on in our lives. And he's right there. You know, like Brother Jerry had his boot accident. He could have gotten killed, but God had his angels there. He got an injury, but God's promised me he's going to heal that injury, and he's alive today. Why? Because his father walked with him continually. Yeah, stop and think about really what God has done to you. You might even be able to write a book, you know, with your story. You just might. Maybe you ought to try that. You know, there's people out there that might get saved because of your story that you wrote in a book. It doesn't have to be a big book. You know, just write down your story. As God said, why aren't you telling your story? I know a lot of you in here, you'd be freer if you would tell your story. Even if it's bad, indifferent, you would be free if you just get it out there in the open. Come on. All right, so we're going to go into what I was going to teach tonight, and there's power in God's presence. There's always a time of famine in every one of our lives. And 1 Kings 17, verse 1 says, Elijah was a prophet from the town of Tishbe in Gilead. He said to King Ahab, I serve the Lord, the God of Israel. By his power, I promise no dew or rain will fall for the next few years. The rain will fall only when I command it to fall. This prophet was so so into God that he just knew anything he said, God was going to cause to come to pass. That's a lot of confidence he just spoke there. Verse 2 says, then the Lord said to Elijah, leave this place and go east. Hide. You know, God's telling Elijah to hide. Hide near Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan River. You can get your water from that stream, and I have commanded ravens to bring food to you there. So Elijah, I've always told God said whenever the famine starts that he would feed us. I said, if you're going to send a raven to feed me, please make sure he has a clean mouth. Amen. When it is, he carries my food. Amen. Okay, so Elijah did what the Lord told him to do. How many of you are believing that when the famine comes, there is no food, that God is going to supply you with food? I mean, I really believe that. I just don't say that haphazardly. I really believe he's going to supply me with food. And if he doesn't for 40 days, he might be telling me fast. You know, but I believe with all my heart that God is going to provide for me. And you know, and you just can't haphazardly say, God's going to give me food. No, you're going to have to believe that from the very depths of your soul, that God's going to provide for you. So Elijah did what the Lord told him to do. He went to live near Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan River. Ravens brought Elijah food every morning and every evening, and he drank water from the stream. There was no rain, so after a while the stream became dry. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to Zarephath in Sidon and stay there. There is a widow there that I commanded to take care of you. See what God did to Elijah? He told him to go hide, get away so they don't capture you. And he said, while you're hiding, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to put you by a brook where you have plenty of water. And then he says, now go to this other town because I provided somebody there to take care of you. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God I serve anyhow. We were running really low on money a couple months ago, and God said, I've sent you another provider. And that very day in church service, somebody came to me and told them what they were going to do for the church. That's the kind of God I serve. You know, what's your story? I don't have a negative story. I really don't. I have a story of a God who always has provided a way for me in the wilderness. That's my story. Why is that my story? Because I want to live positive. I could say a whole lot of negative things that happened before from A to Z. But God gave me a promise. He would never leave me nor forsake me. He would always provide for me, and he always has. I don't live in a mansion. You know, I don't have money running out my pockets, my ears, my nose, or anything else. I have to scrape and find it. But God always provides. That's my story. We all have to live life. We do. And life goes on, and life is not fair. Every one of you sitting here, you know life is not fair. And you know sometimes the devil comes up behind you and gives you what you call a sucker punch. And you know, and it knocks you down to your knees. But you get back up again. Why? Because you know that your Father is there watching over you and he's keeping you. That's your story. I'm going to wear that out, aren't I? Maybe I quit. Forget he said that. All right, every one of us has experienced a time of great famine, and God has provided a way of escape for us. There's not one of you in here, if you really are truthful, that you have not been in a famine of some sort, and God's always made a way. If you look at it positively start looking how God's been moving in your life, then if you have a negative story, you're going to have a positive story. Well, my wife left you. That might have been a positive story. You know, God might have something better for you. So why look at the negative part of it? Come on. As God did for Elijah tonight, God wants to reveal himself in a way that we never experienced him before. God wants to pour into our spirit the revelation of his person and nature. He wants us to be just like God. Now, we aren't God, but our nature should be like God. And we should be rejoicing. We all have our moments when we get messed up. Come on. If you don't, I want to meet you after church because I want to see. I'm going to stick you with a pin and see if you bleed. But, you know, I just blurt it all out what's bothering me, then I go on and let go of it. You know, some people, you know, they'll hang on to something forever. And it drags them down. Come on. Get it out and get it over with and walk on. You know, my one son, he says, he thinks that I should just hold on to something. I said, no, I just spoke it. It's done with. Let's move on to something else. You don't want to stand there and spin your wheels in that mud hole. Move on and forget about what caused it. You did what you needed to do about it. Now just move on. Get in the positive lane. All right. Tonight, while we are sitting here in God's presence, allow the Holy Spirit and the presence of God to come upon you. While you're sitting right here tonight, God wants to come upon you and put his nature in you. He does not want you to leave here the same way that you walked in. I don't care how good you are with God, there's always more of God that we can attain. And if you think you've attained, then I feel sorry for you because you haven't. There's so much more of God that we have not even thought about. And God wants us to give us his nature. So as you quietly sit here, just let him come upon you and just let him do whatever he wants to do to you. If he wants to change you, rearrange you, give him that permission to do that. If he wants to take you on up into that table, that food he has all prepared for you, go ahead and go with him. Just let his presence settle in on you. All right, while you're doing that, God wants to reveal to us that he is resurrection power. Remember, he said we're going in 2023 in resurrection power. All right, he is resurrection power, healing power, creative power, liberating power, dynamic, moving, thriving, doing, growing, multiplying, adding, increasing, restoring, constantly flowing power and constant dynamic ability. All those things is what God is wanting to drop into you right now. And when you leave here, don't stop me and say something negative to me because I'm just saying, excuse me, and I'm going to go to my car that's not tagged, all right? If you're really, truly wanting God to give you this, then receive it. I mean, you don't have to sit there and act like you're in some big zone somewhere. Just be you and just receive whatever he wants to drop into your spirit right now. God is real. He is real, he's active, and he's alive. And I don't know about you, but he's more real and active and alive today than he was yesterday. He's an ongoing God. He doesn't stop somewhere and say, well, I'm going to go on a little vacation and I'll meet up with you somewhere along the road. No, he's an ongoing God. He's with you every single solitary day. And if you forget it for a second, that's fine. I give you permission to do that because I do it too. But then we say, hey, you know, I just messed up. Father, I'm sorry. And you move on with God, right? Because he's not going to stop and wait on you. He said, we have to change. He's an unchanging God, right? All right, God is immeasurable. He's unconquerable, never diminishing, unquenchable, miracle-working power. In his presence is joy unspeakable, and is also fullness of glory. These are all the things right here God is trying to drop into your spirit tonight. Because God told me, he said, I want them to have power. And the only way they get the power is to have me in them. And these are all the things that God's placing in you right now. If you're truly saying, God, here I am, an empty vessel, pour yourself into me. Make me just like you, and where the enemy can't stop me. And that's been our problem. We're not like God, and the enemy's come in and stopped us. I'm hearing God saying in midstream, when God was getting, and this is what he's saying, when he's getting ready to do something powerful, we allowed the enemy to come in and stop us dead in our tracks. And now God is saying tonight, never again. You're just going to keep moving and keep moving and keep moving. And he's saying that some of you are going to see results in the next couple of days of the favor that you found in God tonight because of how you emptied yourself out to be filled full of what he wants to fill, all those things we just read. All right. He's saying it's change time, children. It's time to change from the old to the new. And everything you've been holding on to, God wants it right now. He doesn't want to wait till tomorrow. He doesn't want to wait till the altar call. He wants it right now. So let him pour it into you. In the very beginning of the ages, God said, let there be light. God spoke those words. And suns and stars are still being born in the vastness of space to this day. Animals, plants, fish, and people are still reproducing to this day. How many of you go out at night, just look up at the sky, and just marvel at the wonder of what God does? If you're looking very closely, you're seeing it's sort of dark in the sky, too. There's not as many stars twinkling about. But how many of you do that? I do that a couple times, and I just go out and stand on my deck and just look up and say, God, you're so wonderful. Look at all the vastness above us. Then I say, who's living up there? I really think there's something else up there besides heaven. You know, God and I have a lot of silly conversations because I have a mind that works constantly. It never sits still. All right, and you're talking about the animals, the plants, the fish, and the people are still reproducing to this day. I have a cat that just had kittens. I wish it wouldn't have reproduced. Yeah. But they're still reproducing. I don't care what you do. Amen. All right, this power is constantly flowing in his presence and out of him. This power is constantly flowing in his presence. When you're in his presence, it's flowing out of him into you. How many of you know that right now, the closer you're trying to get to God, the more interference you have? Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? I say, God, I need more hours in a day because there's too much interference here. If it isn't one thing, it's 20 others, right? But what do? We just keep staying in his presence. I say, well, here I am again, God. Let's start all over again because I done forgot what we did 2 hours ago. You know, we have so many interruptions right now in our life, don't we? Or am I the only one that's going through that? And it's the enemy trying to keep us out of the presence of God. It's all it is. And who is more powerful? God. So the enemy has to quit, right? Let's keep telling him that until he gets it, our story. We're not going to let you interfere with our walk with God any longer. All right. I said this power is constantly flowing in his presence and out of him. It is unlimited and everlasting, immeasurable and unstoppable. This power that God is trying to put in us tonight is unlimited, everlasting, immeasurable, and unstoppable. Guys, we're going to be dynamite in God, for God. If we just let all this stuff get in us tonight, I mean, God is starting something tonight that He's not going to stop. I'm hearing Him saying to He's totally finished with each one of us individually. He's not doing this as a group. He is looking at each person individually and seeing how much of Him do you want. And whatever you want is what He's going to give just to you. Because you might not want the whole load. You just might want a trickle. But whatever you want, that's what God's going to pour into you. He said the vastness of His universe is so vast it astounds all people. But He wants to put the vastness of His universe inside of us. So we have His power and His authority to go out there and compel them to come in. And to break apart the darkness that has come upon the land. God promised, told us 20 years ago this darkness was coming. But I never for one instance ever thought it would be this dark on the earth. I mean, it is dark. And God says, told me the night, the daughter's going to get darker still. And you think, what else could possibly happen? See, you need to be talking to your Father. You know, I'll just be doing something. He just starts talking to me. I don't even have to be going and saying, okay, let's have a conversation. He just starts talking to me, and that's what He wants to do to each one of you. No matter what you're doing. He just wants, you know, okay, so you're talking to somebody, and somebody else comes up and wants to talk to you too. You know, so we interrupt our conversation, see what the other person wants. And this is what happens when God's talking to us. Somebody will come in and interrupt your conversation with God. They say to me, oh, you're praying. I said, yes. They said, well, that's okay. I just want a few minutes of your time. And that's fine. I'll give you a few minutes of my time when you leave then. You know, God and I will get back because I know God's not going to go nowhere. And I know He's not going to forget what He was going to tell me. So I'm not going to get into twit because somebody interrupted my conversation with God. We just keep going. We just keep going. Lost my place. All right, out of God comes all life and all things that are seen and unseen. Everything that we do comes out of God. I don't understand how some people, where their mind's at. It's just, it's fried. Because what they say is not real. Everything that happens comes out of God. This power will never stop flowing out of God. Ephesians 1:15 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now let's just stop there. What did Paul say here? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the people, I do not cease to give thanks for you. He keeps right on praying for this person. And then He tells you exactly why He's praying for that person. And that's what we should be doing, but we don't do that. We say, oh, well, they're trying to be bigger than me. That's the way it goes. We aren't supposed to do that. So what if they become bigger than you? The bigger one's always going to be the bigger one, and that's God. We aren't in some kind of competition. Verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You know, you don't need to think about what am I going to teach. You just need to pick up your Bible, have God tell you what the subject, and then pick up your Bible, and there it's all written out for you already. All you have to do is just sit here and read it. Because there, it's right there. And it's all documented. I'm hearing God saying it's all documented. in the file room in heaven. So you can't go wrong. Come on. We are the vessels of the all-powerful, all-sufficient, almighty, glorious, all-wise, self-existent God. We are the vessels of all that. You don't believe that tonight. And that's why the enemy can just toss you to and fro. Because you just don't believe that you're all that. That all of God is in you. You know, people call you prideful. That's not pride. You're just so excited that God loves you so much that he just does so much for you. You aren't around boasting about it. You just walk around knowing that God's alive inside of you. And you have all power and all authority. And you know, I know somebody that they have to have the last word. I don't have to have the last word because you know what? God's already spoken it. And me, just by me shutting up doesn't mean I've lost the battle. That means I won the biggest battle. You know, why do you think you always have to have the last word? If you're right, you're right. You know it, you shut up. And when God, one day God's going to prove it. Do you ever hear husbands and wives, my Lord, some women are a mess. They have to have the last, they keep right on. They have to have the last word. Well, I'm sorry, but God always has the last word in every situation in your life. And you have what you think is the last word doesn't make you any better than me. In fact, I'm the better person. Yes, well, you should think you're the better person because you just let them go ahead and rattle on. You didn't add fuel to the fire. You just let them believe what they wanted to believe and went on. Right? Come on. Lost my place again. All right, we must honor him in our thoughts and actions. God honors those who honor him. How many of us really honor God in our thoughts and actions? Sometimes my thoughts aren't so good. And sometimes, like the other morning, other night at 2 o'clock in the morning, my kids were beating on the drum and had their little, you know, guitars going on. And I was saying, please turn that down. You know, when you reach my age, your nerves aren't as good as they used to be when you was 20. And I kept saying, please stop. And I yelled really, stop. Then one of the kids said, well, why are you yelling? I said, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They said, well, why are you yelling at 2 o'clock in the morning? So my actions weren't very good then, were they? One day I said, you're going to be my agent. And you wonder why. Then you'll know why I said stop until you get there. Please listen. Amen. Come on. So I said, we must honor God in our thoughts and actions. God honors those who honor him. And of course, you know, when I do stuff like that, I always have to repent to God first and then to the kids. And then they tell me they love me, and then we do that thing, you know, get the love walk going again. And then we just grow on with life, right? But some people, I'm not going to say I'm sorry for nothing. Then they go to bed and probably say, I hope they die in their sleep. And then you have somebody else that just kisses you half to death. And, you know, and I'm sorry. You know, God wants that. He wants you to be able to say, I'm sorry. And I don't care how old I am. And I don't care how young the kids are. If I'm in the wrong, I'm in the wrong. And I need to say, I'm sorry. I need to teach them humility. All right. So how are your thoughts and how are your actions? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, aren't you glad he's rich in mercy? Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that you shouldn't even be here today? And how many of you know you don't even deserve God's grace? But we serve a God that's almighty God, and he loves us. And you know, he's like us. No, we're like him, because he made us in his image. And you know, he forgives us, and he goes on with us with life, and he doesn't hold grudges against us. He picks us up and dusts us off, a little hard sometimes, but he dusts us off and says, go on and don't do it again. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God I serve. You can call me a hypocrite all you want. When you've stood in my face and done dirty things to me, and then finally I get enough of it and I say something, and I don't say something I shouldn't say, but look at you, hypocrite. You go out to the church and you smile and act like you're all that. I'm not all that, and then some. Believe me, if you stick a pin in me, I'll yell. And I do bleed. And my heart does ache a lot. I'm not a hypocrite, but I am a child of God. That's my story. Amen. Verse 7 said that, I think I didn't read this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God wants, when people look at us and we say God is so good, he wants to see that in us. He wants to see us acting like God is good, not putting on a show, acting like God is good. And when people look at us, they want to see humans. They don't want to see a put-on person. They want to see somebody that's human. And they want to know that even if you serve God, you're still real. You still have emotions. And life still goes on. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's what Jesus came and said to his disciples. And because it was given to him, then what did he do? He passes down to his disciples. What are we? Disciples. And so he told the 12, he's all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We have all authority against the devil. We don't act like that, though. When I look at some Christians, I mean, my Lord, how stupid can you be and still breathe? I mean, because they just act like, the devil's it. They act like there is no God. Don't you all seen people like that? And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying, come on. You have all God inside of you. Quit acting like the devil's in control of everything in your life. All right, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. You should do what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In other words, when you're baptized in the Spirit, you receive power. And you should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you're changed. Your life is changed. And every place you go, they'll say, oh, I don't remember them being like that. This is a new creation. That's how people should look at us. Because our lives should be changed. And Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. How do we go through life? By faith. When somebody says, how do you know there's heaven? I said, I don't. I look around about me and they say all the beautiful things, but I really don't. I haven't seen heaven. But it's by faith. Somebody's trying to destroy my faith one time, and they said, well, what are you going to do whenever you die and find out there is no heaven, and you were such a goody-two-shoes all these years and didn't enjoy yourself? I said, no, I did enjoy myself. You're not. It won't bother me at all. I lived a good life. I didn't miss anything. Because, when you're walking with God, whether he is real, okay, but I'm going to say this, whether you think he's real or not, and he is real, when you're walking with God, you're not walking in that sin-laden world. You don't have all that darkness on you, and you have the light of God vibrating out of you, and you're just happy. Somebody said to me one time when I was younger, you're too dumb to know that, that you have a problem. No, I'm not too dumb. I do know I have a problem, but I also read my word where my father took care of me. All right? Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We should act like God. In Luke 4:32, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. When you go out there and you teach, you preach, you evangelize, whatever you do, you need to have the authority of God within you, and it needs to come out of your mouth. And whenever you have the authority in you, the anointing will flow from those words and change people's lives. Yet if you don't have that authority in you, you can speak to your blue in the face and nothing's going to happen to nobody. Not even you. You're going to be sorry you went. Amen. John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And that's in John 21:25. Then Psalm 42:7, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. God has been telling us deep is calling unto deep now. No more religious spirits. It has to be spirit call. Spirit is calling to spirit. And whenever spirit calls a spirit, God takes you deep. And he gives you revelation. And some of you don't even understand how deep you are with God, because the devil is still trying to make you believe, excuse me, that you'll never get rid of your sin nature. But God has taken that away from you, because when I listen to what you say, you have such deep revelation. And I know it doesn't come from the devil. Amen. Keep fighting. Keep standing your ground and say, devil, you're a liar. Just tell him you're a liar, just like when I jumped out of bed. Brand new day, I'm healed of the crown of my head, soles of my feet. By the time I got to the bathroom, I didn't repent. I said, I'm still healed. He's not going to let me receive that just like that. He's going to fight me, and he's going to fight you. We all have our own battleground, you know. Okay, then, there are things that God desires to show to each of his children, but are we hungry enough for the presence of God? Bottom line, are we hungry enough for the presence of God? Tonight, God is asking us to yield to him, his will, his process, his chastening, his love. We must center our life on God, on his purposes, on his will, and on his love. We have been in the middle lane of traffic long enough. God wants to move us over to the fast lane. Once we get in the fast lane, we must stay in the fast lane and keep accelerating. God is calling us into the fast lane tonight, because he wants us in his presence. Excuse me, as we're in his presence, power comes, authority comes, and the devil has to flee. So I said, once we get in the fast lane, we must stay in the fast lane and keep accelerating. God has a great and mighty works for each of us to do, and God is calling for his bride to come forth. Everybody thinks, oh, well, we don't have to come forth until he appears in the cloud. Get out of here. You're supposed to come forth right now. Everybody's supposed to see you dressed in the robes of Jesus. Everybody's supposed to see you with God inside of you, coming out of you. And then that glorious day, when the wedding day really is, you're all ready to step into that marriage supper of the Lamb and do the great mighty things that God is calling you forth to do. Oh, I didn't mean to keep you this long, but you needed to hear what you heard. And I hope you take it home with you. I don't want you, these seats don't need anything I said. These walls are so full of the word that that's what's holding them up. Amen. So, you know, you need to take everything you heard with you, but just don't take it with you. Live it. Let it be your story. You need to go home and go in your car and sing a song. Satan, this is my story from now on. And just let him hear your story. And he's not in this. It's going to make him mad. But let him know, don't let him know. He's not anywhere in your story from this night forward. There's power in his presence. The altar's open if you want more of his power.